Welcome to the BCMA podcast. I'm your host, Lorenda Calvert, and today I'm joined by John Farrow. John, would you like to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure. Hi, I'm John Farrow. I'm the manager of social media and communications for Science Up First.
Ooh, what is Science Up First?
So we're a collection of independent scientists, healthcare providers, and science communicators that work together to stop the spread of misinformation. We launched in January 2021, but we've been growing pretty rapidly since then. We've built a community of around 30,000 engaged people across the country and around the world who are all fighting misinformation together by amplifying good science content and being champions for good science in their own communities.
That's so neat.
Yeah, it's awesome. You can find us on Twitter, on Facebook, and on Instagram. And as our team expands over the next few months, we're also looking to other platforms. You may see us maybe on TikTok or on some other places as well.
Ooh, TikTok, getting those Gen Zs, hey?
Yeah.
John, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself too?
Sure. So I actually did a degree in science communication and public engagement out at the University of Edinburgh in Scotland. And then I lived for 3 years in the UK in London, working in museums, at the Science Museum in London, and at the Royal Institution, doing all sorts of different science content. And then I moved back to Canada maybe about 3 years ago, and I was working at CIFAR, the Canadian Institute for Advanced Research, doing communications. And throughout the pandemic, I was really thinking about how can I apply my skills to this really important problem of both the infectious disease going everywhere in the world right now, but also the information and the health misinformation that's going around. So when I saw the opportunity to join Science Up First, I leapt at it. And it's also funny because I saw the ad for the job on social media. Dr. Sam Yamin, who's also known as Science Sam, posted the job on Twitter, and I follow her, and I saw it. So it's kind of funny that I got this sort of social media job working or seeing it on social media.
The power of social media. I know so many folks now who don't have cable, so they're not watching news. They don't read the newspaper because they don't have a newspaper subscription. They aren't listening to radio because they're listening to Spotify or podcasts, which are great. Podcasts like this are fantastic. Listen to podcasts. But the way that they are getting their information and their news is through social media. So that's following news platforms on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Maybe it's not following news platforms and it's just getting information shared by other folks. So the power of social media is fantastic because that's how you can find a job. That's really cool. But the power of social media also means that like it could be the sole information source for members of the populace and members of our community. And with that comes a lot of responsibility that sometimes social media isn't really thinking about the responsibility aspect.
Yeah, and I think on an individual basis, people probably underestimate their own influence and reach on social media within their own communities. People tend to respect and listen to people that they already know or who are in their community. And so if you're parents tell you something, or if your good friend tells you something, you are probably more likely to take that information in and listen to it than if a random stranger told you. And so these network dynamics, the things that convince you of something, are exactly what we're trying to use to spread good science information. We're trying to give Canadians the tools to be good science champions in their own communities, so that when they share stuff in their own networks, in their WhatsApp groups with their friends or in their family messaging group, that it's good science, that it's accurate, that it's from reputable sources, and also that they can call out misinformation. And when someone shares a myth or some sort of spurious allegation of some bad thing that's happened, maybe because of vaccines or something, they can say, no, that's not true. Because I follow Science Up First, and I know that you shouldn't listen to one-off anecdotes. Or I follow Science Up First, and I know that the best way to get through this pandemic is the following. So we really want to sort of create these champions in people's circles, and give make sure they feel supported to do that good work debunking misinformation.
Which is such a noble endeavor and actually ties into my next question, because I was going to ask, why are we doing this? Why are you doing this? Why is Sense Up First doing this?
Yeah, so misinformation is a huge problem. I mean, it's always been an issue, but there's two things that are making it especially big this year. One is obviously the pandemic. So individual choices, like whether to wear a mask or to get vaccinated, they have far-reaching health implications. If someone reads a scary headline that delays their vaccination by even a few days, that increases not just their own personal risk of contracting COVID, but also the risk of everyone that they might have contact with, their friends and their family. So that's the first thing. The pandemic has really amplified the impact of health misinformation. But the other thing is social media. So most of us are spending a lot more time at home, and Canadians are spending a lot more time on social media. And social media is also becoming more polarized. The thing that these social media platforms value is your eyeballs, sort of your time spent on their platforms. And so the best content is stuff that performs the best and gets seen by the most people is the most polarizing, is the most activates your emotions. It's not just Canada. The World Health Organization has termed the rise of mis and disinformation around the world as a global infodemic. And much like infectious disease, preventing misinformation from spreading is much more effective at limiting its spread than treating it once it takes hold. So prevention, an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. Same thing happens here. So part of our mission is to empower Canadians to become champions for good science in their own lives. We want people to develop good information habits, like checking sources and pausing before sharing and listening to trusted experts. We want to sort of give people armor against this misinformation.
Before we go any further, I just want to ask a question, because I think I use these terms interchangeably, misinformation and disinformation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are they same? Are they different?
They're subtly different. So misinformation is a bit broader. It means any kind of false information that's spread kind of regardless of the intent. Whereas disinformation is stuff that's created, false information that's created and spread purposefully, sort of knowing that it's false in order to advance an agenda or to convince people of something. That's what you might think of more as propaganda. Is disinformation, whereas misinformation sometimes is people honestly make a mistake and they share something, or they don't know what the truth is, but they share it and it turns out to be false.
So if people wanted to, you just used the example of armor. If people wanted to gather some armor so that they can suss out those potentially well-intended but incorrect information out there, where do they start? What can they do?
Yeah. So I think if you want to make content that combats misinformation, the first place to start is to follow us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and amplify our content, because that's our bread and butter. That's what we do. And everything we post gets vetted by experts, translated in both English and French. And we're sticklers on accuracy. And even if occasionally we make mistakes, we'll post corrections. We're all about sort of transparency. But if you want to start fighting misinformation yourself, I actually have some tips from Timothy Caulfield, who's a scholar of misinformation at the University of Alberta. And he's one of the founders of Science Up First. And these five tips run through my head every time I go to make a piece of content. And the great thing about them is that anybody can apply them to start fighting misinformation. And the first one, number one, is to start with accurate information. So lead with good science, reference reputable sources, start with the science. The second one is to identify the gaps in logic that people pushing misinformation use. So you'll often hear people extrapolate from one anecdote or think that because two things happen close to each other in time, one must have caused the other. These are logical fallacies, and pointing them out makes people more aware of the rhetoric being used to convince them of something. So that's some armor there. So point out the gaps in logic. Three is be nice. Most people aren't stupid. They don't want to put other people in danger or even share inaccurate information. Most people want to share good information. And the reason they share misinformation is because they're motivated by a desire to protect themselves and their families and their communities. We're all human. We're all trying to get through this. So if you are, do want to start debunking, start with that. Start with common ground and be empathetic and nice. The fourth thing I say is be creative. So we know that storytelling and humor, two really good ways of to make things more interesting and shareable. And shareable is really important, especially on social media. And that's why you'll see us making memes and cracking jokes and telling stories, because we know that those things are very effective. And number five, I'd say, is know your audience. So for most people, most of the time, like us, the movable middle is the audience you're looking to engage. So we want to bring people on the fence, onto the good side of the fence, onto the good science side, because people who are already on the other side of the fence, they need a totally different approach. So really focus on that movable middle, the people on the fence. So to recap, the five are: number one, good science; number two, identify logic gaps; number three, be nice; number four, be creative; and number five, know your audience.
Amazing. I love like a 5-point plan on how to move forward. This is perfect.
Yeah.
And these are things that people could start like today, like you said, follow you folks on Twitter and social media. Like I could do that. They could be listening to our podcast right now, open up their phone and follow you folks. What is your handle on Twitter?
So it's at Science Up First. So SCIENCEUPFIRST. And then we also have sort of reserved the French handles, La Science D'abord, but we haven't started using those yet, but I think we will in the next couple of months. But yeah, we're at Science Up First across all of the social media platforms.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And I know the Exploration Place, which is a museum here in BC, they have partnered with Science Up First to address misinformation as well. That's correct, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we work with the Exploration Place. The CEO there is on our coalition of experts and comes to us with ideas for things. And we also, they share a lot of the content that we put out.
That's fantastic. I'm really excited for us to release this podcast so that we can start encouraging our community to address misinformation, think about ways that we can just pause and reflect on the accuracy of what we are sharing. And I loved point three about being kind, because I think you're very right in that a lot of folks are sharing this because they are concerned about their community, or they're concerned for themselves or their loved ones, and that the misinformation they're reading feels right, even if it's not actually right. And that addressing this with kindness and moving forward with kindness so that we can alleviate people's fears and worries and answer their questions in a really kind and positive way so that we can have a more informed populace is a really noble journey. And I'm really excited for us all to be involved in this. So thank you so much, John, for the work that you do, but also for joining us today to chat about Science Up First and about misinformation. I'll make sure to link the Twitter handle and your information in the podcast description so folks can find you there and get started on that 5-point plan.
Yeah, for sure. I'd also just a little quick plug for, I'm sure your listeners are aware, museums enjoy a huge level of trust. Museums are awesome and they're community hubs and people come there to learn. So we want to work with museums. We recently provided some content for Science World in Vancouver. Like you said, we're also working with Exploration Place in Prince George. So anybody listening, if you want to repurpose any of the content that you see on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, on your own online channels, or even in physical spaces, get in touch. So you can send us a message directly on any of our social media accounts, or you can use the contact form on our website. So scienceupfirst.com. Those are probably the best ways to get at us. But you can also just post anything on social media, tag us, and we'll see it. I also just, I guess I want to thank the museum community for the great work that you've been doing during this pandemic, being that trusted source of good information. And just one more thing.
Sure.
I read this really interesting paper in March about misinformation, and it had this like this one simple trick that will make anybody way less likely to share misinformation. So if the 5-point plan is a bit too intense for you and you just want 1 point, this is it. It's really simple. All you have to do is pause. Just pause before sharing and think, is this accurate? And that simple act of changing your mindset towards accuracy makes you way less likely to share misinformation. It was actually co-authored by a researcher out of Saskatchewan named Gordon Pennycook, but it was published in Nature, which is this big, prestigious, peer-reviewed scientific journal. What they found is that people really want to share accurate information. They rate accuracy as one of the most important things that they think about when they want to share. But then when you actually give them a headline, if it agrees with their political values or their identity or will make them look good in front of their friends and followers, they're more likely to share it. But if you can intervene and say, first, is this accurate? And then, will you share this? The people who were asked, is this accurate, were way less likely to share the misinformation. So just subtly encouraging people to pay attention to accuracy is enough to shift attitudes and behaviors. So that's the one simple trick, is just pause, think, and then maybe check the sources. Maybe, you know, there's some other things you can do to make sure what you're reading is accurate, but just pausing and thinking is a really good step.
Amazing, John. I love that. Just leaving us with one little easy, digestible action we can all take and start today. Pause, reflect, and then think about sharing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, John, for joining us today. It was absolutely wonderful to chat with you. I look forward to seeing the work that you do and how Science Up First grows. It's been fantastic, and I'm sure our listeners are really going to enjoy this one as well.
Hey, thanks so much.